Now, if you'll turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Paul gives an expression of his call to be an apostle to the Gentiles. As he says in an earlier chapter, the 11th chapter, verse 13, he gives expression to that which was a driving force in his ministry. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. The expression, I magnify mine office, calls attention to the fact that he recognizes and accepts the fact that he's called of God to be an apostle to the Gentiles, and he commits himself to that in such a way as to magnify his office, glorify the office, doing absolutely the best he could under any and all circumstances. He was proud of that fact. Now, I want to read from verse 14 of the 15th chapter to pick up a few statements that will get us into our study. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I've written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum I fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for to please them of Macedonia and Achaia, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto you carnal things. And that's all I want to read for the time being. Paul, being called an apostle to the Gentiles, speaks of himself as being a minister unto the Gentiles. The word translated minister sometimes is translated priest. And there is a sense in which Paul is a priest, the same as all Christians are priests unto God. The priest is one who goes into the presence of God talks to God on behalf of the people, coming out from the presence of God, appears before the people to talk unto them on the behalf of God. Now, Paul being called an apostle to the Gentiles and a priest unto the Gentiles reminds us of Moses, who was a priest unto the Jews. God committed the Jews into the hands of Moses. God committed the Gentiles into the hands of the apostle Paul. Now, Moses had forms of services and forms of worship. He lived back in the days of the law. There was the altar. There were the sacrifices. There were the priests. There were all sorts of typical and symbolic worship. And with the building of the tabernacle, we find Christ being portrayed and then on into the temple. Now, Paul speaks of the Gentiles as being a sacrifice unto the Lord, sacrifice sanctified by God. Now, Moses' ministry was attended by signs, wonders, and miracles. To start with, Moses asked the Lord this question about how he could present his credentials to Pharaoh that he was an ambassador of God and had been sent from God. And God gave him signs, the signs of the leper's hand, casting of the staff upon the ground to become serpents, the changing of water to blood. He had those signs. Many other signs came later on under the judgment of God. The Apostle Paul himself had signs, wonders, and miracles. He had possibly the greatest sign. Back to Moses. Moses, herding sheep on the backside of the desert, saw a strange sight one day. He saw a bush burning, but not consumed. And as he watched and meditated upon that, he said, "I'm going to turn aside and see this thing." He turned aside, and as he approached the burning bush, there came to him the voice from the bush saying, "Remove thy shoes from off thy feet, for the ground upon which thou standest is holy ground." God Almighty met him there in the burning bush. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Moses was herding sheep, attending to his regular business. Paul was on the way to Damascus, conducting what he thought was his regular business, seeking Christians that he might have them incarcerated. Later on, have them taken out and put to death. But as Paul was on the road to Damascus, the Lord met him. The Lord came from heaven. The Lord stood on the burning sands in front of Saul of Tarsus. The glory of the risen, glorified Christ, so bright, Saul was blinded. So powerful the presence of the Lord and the glory of the Lord that Saul, blinded, fell prostrate in the dust at the feet of the Lord. It was then that the Lord spoke to him. And he said, "Saul, Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." To which Saul replied, "Who art thou, Lord?" The Lord replied, "I am Jesus." A most significant answer. I'm Jesus. I'm the Word manifest in the flesh. I'm the humanity of God manifest in the flesh. I'm Jesus. That was the name of his humanity. The name of his deity is Christ. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. When he told him who he was, then the Apostle Paul said, "What will thou have me to do, Lord?" To which the Lord replied, "Go into the city, and there it'll be told thee what to do." Paul Rader, of the great Moody Church years ago, had a powerful message on the told life, T-O-L-D, the told life. Go into the city, and it'll be told thee what to do. Today we want a blueprint of our entire life ahead of us. But our Lord lived His life from day to day. The Apostle Paul lived his life from day to day. The other apostles lived from day to day, going from house to house, breaking bread daily, doing this daily, subject to the call of the Lord daily. It said they lived a planless life as far as humanity was concerned, but as far as the Lord was concerned, their life had been mapped out to them from eternity. Now, the Lord Moses had those signs, wonders, and miracles. The Apostle Paul, the greatest miracle of all. Unless we go to another in his experience. Experiences go to make up the whole man. People today try to walk in the steps of Paul. I imagine some try to imitate the Apostle Paul. But what can we do? Or what can we know? Or what can we see that would rival or equal the personal appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to come to you and talk to you and tell you? I care not how many say the Lord appears to them today and tell them to do this and that. I don't believe a word of it. He's in heaven interceding for us when we sin. And I don't know about you. I wouldn't try to confess anybody else's sins, but he has plenty to do interceding for sinning Christians. Those are Christians around the world. He has a full-time job. Now, the Apostle Paul at Lystra, stoned. Stoned to death, I believe. When a man was stoned, as in the stoning of Stephen, also in the stoning of the Apostle Paul, historians record the fact that every bone in their body was broken with the stoning. They literally beat and crushed the life out of them with the stones. I think evidence that the Apostle Paul was dead is the fact that they drug his body outside the city to the dump ground and threw it on the dump of refuse with the rest of the trash. So little did they think of the Apostle Paul. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul saying, I knew a man about 12 years ago, caught up into heaven, the third heaven. Again he says, I knew this man so many years ago, caught up to paradise. And he saw and he heard things that was not lawful for him to remember. And to keep me humble and to keep me silent, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. I besought him three times that he removed the thorn in the flesh, but he would not. How far different from those who claim to go to heaven today and walk knee-deep in grass and all of this and then come back down here. I have one question to ask them. Why would anybody go to heaven and want to come back? Unless their heart is fixed upon things here below and not things above. The Apostle Paul himself said to depart and be of the Lord is far better. But the Apostle Paul, lying there, his body on the dump heap outside the city of Lystra, all of a sudden came to life, stood up, said, let's go back into the city, the same city in which he was stoned. And he goes back into the city and he continues his ministry. It was the Apostle Paul coming to an island on one occasion, warming himself by a fire. Serpent, deadly serpent, crawled out of the wood and struck the Apostle Paul on the arm He reached up, took him off a piece of one side, suffered no harm whatever from the serpent. That miracle. He was preaching on another occasion, and he had an extensively long sermon, several hours. And the young man sitting in the window went to sleep and fell out and killed himself. The Apostle Paul raised him from the dead. Moses had many signs and wonders and miracles before the people. So did the Apostle Paul. As an apostle to the Gentiles, those signs and wonders which the apostles had, the famous cliche today by these healers and tonguers, etc., is that it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Well, I have a favorite answer there. I said, oh, you believe everything in the Bible. Well, have you started building your ark yet? What's that? The one like the Lord told Noah to build. If it's for you, he wants you to build one too. And he said, well, that's for Noah. I said, I know it, and these things are for somebody else too. Not everything is in there. Someone took two passages of Scripture in the Bible and put them together, talking along, and says, Judas went out and hanged himself. Go thou and do likewise. You see, you can do things with the Bible, with the Word of God. Signs, wonders, and miracles were the credentials of the apostles until the Bible was completed. How do you know I'm from God? Because I raise the dead, heal the sick, talk in some sort of a gibberish, play with snakes, drink deadly poison? No. If they speak not according to the Word of God, it's because the truth is not in them. You can tell whether or not I'm from God, whether or not I speak according to the Word. That's a simple matter, just that simple. Credentials. The only credential I need for the preaching of the gospel is the open Bible. I speak it. Now, Paul had the signs, wonders, and miracles. But an interesting thing about the Apostle Paul, all of his signs, wonders, and miracles were in the first part of his ministry. There were none in the second part of his ministry. It was in the second part of his ministry that he told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. Why didn't he heal him? It was during the second part of his ministry that he left Epaphroditus over the place because he was sick and couldn't get well soon enough to go with him on his missionary journey. The Apostle Paul, nor any other apostles, performed any signs, wonders, or miracles after about 60 or 61 A.D., That's when the Lord turned from the Jews to the Gentiles and set the nation of Israel aside temporarily, which is still set aside. It's coming the day when they will be grafted back in. It's coming the day when the gospel of the kingdom will be preached unto them. It's coming a day when the signs, wonders, and miracles will once again be performed for the nation of Israel, under and during the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the grace of God is that gospel wherein we walk by faith and not by sight. It's the Jew that demands a sign, and it's the Jew to whom God gives a sign. Not the church, not the Gentile, but the Jew. Now Saul had them as he's writing here to the Romans. And many people have gotten disturbed because Paul in the 16th verse of the first chapter says that the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. And then they come along with the statement that Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, and therefore it was not to the Jew first. With your indulgence, I'm going to glance over a few passages of Scripture in the book of Acts of the Apostles. Some of you have been through this several times with me. Some of you have not been with me at all. in these things. But it's most important. This whole epistle to the church at Rome has this as its theme. Now, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God. How many there are today who contend that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, but it's not to the Jew first. And the righteousness of God is not revealed therein. Turn with me back here to the ninth chapter, the Acts of the Apostles. This is a chapter which tells of Paul's conversion. This is of primary interest, the relationship to the nation of Israel and God Almighty's missionary program. I was convicted of this years ago. And sometime I say years ago, it was about 1942 or 43. I was convicted of this sublime truth. And my ministry underwent a great change at that time. And from that time until now, there's been an abiding belief in the Word of God that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. There are those who would not have the gospel at all to the Jew, saying that they had their chance. They muffed it. They missed it. But I want to just take you through the scriptures here for a little bit. The Apostle Paul saved here in this ninth chapter. And we find here, I wish you'd look, if you will, in the 20th verse. After Paul had been baptized, after he'd received his sight, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. Now this is the apostle to the Gentiles. The apostle to the Gentiles. And the first preaching he does, is not to the Gentiles, but to the Jews first. In the synagogues, preach Christ, that he is the Son of God. He's preaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Look in verse 22. Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Jerusalem, proving that this is the very Christ. Paul proving to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ, confounding them. Look, if you will, verse 28. He was with them, coming in and out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Now the Grecians were Jews born in Greece. They were called Hellenists. And those of you familiar with literature, remember that. A Hellenist was a Jew born in Greece. And those were the ones who created a little disturbance in the sixth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, who went to the Judaistic Jews, those born in Israel, and complained that their widows, the Hellenistic Jews, the Jewish widows born in Greece, were being discriminated against by the Jews born in Judea. And so, the apostles, Peter speaking, said, "We'll choose you out seven men from among you. All right, you pick out seven men who were born in Greece. And we'll put them over, not only the Grecian Jews, but the Judaistic Jews." And that's where those seven men came in. And here Paul is preaching to them. Now turn to the 13th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I read from verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene. Now if you get disturbed over that Niger, keep in mind that that was a political party, had nothing to do with race or color. And Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch of Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent away, or sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed from Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were come to Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. Now this is the apostle to the Gentiles. But he goes, everywhere he goes to the Jews first. Tens of thousands of Gentiles saved under his ministry, but everywhere he went first to the Jews. They had also John to their minister. Now turn with me over here to the 14th chapter. We find in verse 1, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. So spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Now, to the 16th chapter and the 12th verse, speaking of the journeys of Paul and Silas from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and the colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, that's the day the Jews worship, we went out of the city by a riverside. They worshiped where there was much water because various and sundry ablutions were used in their worship, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. You ask why they were not in a synagogue? Evidently there wasn't enough men there to constitute a synagogue. The Jewish women, together by the riverside on the Sabbath, where prayer was wont to be made, we sat down and we spake unto the women that resorted thither. They were Jews, or Jewesses, and Saul of Tarsus went to them. Now we come to the 17th chapter, and in the first verse we read, When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. This is the apostle to the Gentiles. And he said concerning his office as an apostle to the Gentiles, Inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And he magnified his office as an apostle to the Gentiles by going to the Jews first. Now we have all kinds of missionary order. We have city missions and county missions and district missions and state missions. And we have foreign missions and we have China missions. All kinds of missions. According to man's arrangement. God has arranged missions in two orders. To the Jew first and also to the Greeks. That's God's order. And where that order is observed, where that order is honored, the blessings of God fall. You want the blessings of God? Get where they're falling. Get where they're falling. Don't try to change God's plans and methods. So here they are. Thessalonica, they go to the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. Paul, as his manner was, to go to the Jew first. Paul, as his manner was, to go to the Jew first, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. There it is, just as plain as can be. Paul, as his manner was. Now look at the 10th verse. The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now we look once again, the 17th verse. Well, let's start with the 15th. And they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, receiving a commandment unto Simon, Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed and departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue of the Jews, and with devout persons in the marketplace, daily with them that met with him. Look in the 18th chapter. In the 18th chapter, the 4th verse. Paul now out of Athens into Corinth. In the Corinth he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded Jews and Greeks. Jews and Greeks. Jews and Gentiles. Now look at the 5th verse. And when Silas and Timotheus were coming to Macedonia, Paul, pressed in the Spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Look at the 19th verse of that 18th chapter. He came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Now look at the 28th verse of the same chapter. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Now the 19th chapter and the 8th verse. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now turn to the 20th chapter and the 21st verse. Paul, speaking once again, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he'd passed through Macedonia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent to Macedonia 2 of them and ministered unto him, Timotheus, and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And now in the concluding verse, 32. Some therefore cried one thing after another, for the assembly was confused. That's in the assemblies of both the Jews and Gentiles, but for the more part knew wherefore they were come together. And now we turn on once again over here to the 28th chapter. And I want to give you this last expression in this 28th chapter, in the 28th verse. Well, let's go back to the 25th verse. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet, saying unto our fathers, go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and ye shall understand. Seeing ye shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their ears, eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, that I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Now the 28th verse of the 28th chapter is a great division point in God Almighty's divine plan. Up until this time, we have all kinds of signs, wonders, and miracles. But here, the offer of the gospel of the kingdom is withdrawn from the nation of Israel. Israel as a nation, from this time on, cannot be saved until after God has taken out of all of the Gentiles the people for His name. God is turning here from the Jews to the Gentiles. It is here where Paul's ministry is manifested, when he turns from the Jews to the Gentiles. But despite all of that, wherever the Apostle Paul went, he went to the Jew first and then to the Greek. The great German commentator Franz Delitzsch said on one occasion, "Mission program that ignores the lost sheep of the house of Israel is like a bird trying to fly with one wing." He also said on another occasion that it's easier for a Jew to accept Christ than it is for a Christian to accept the Jew. And I've seen that borne out several times. To the Jew first, Paul an apostle to the Gentiles. But the Apostle Paul wrote these immortal words, and if they become a part of your life and ministry, they'll prove to be a blessing unto you, indescribable, unlimited and unbounded. And those famous words of Paul in the same epistle in which he describes his call to be an apostle to the Gentiles, said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed to tell that to anybody, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to everyone that believeth, to anyone that believeth, you cannot eliminate whosoever will from the Word of God and the plan of God. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith." To the Jew first. I don't know any Jews. How can I manifest to the Jew first? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem is one way. Pray the Lord to open a way for you to meet and witness unto one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oftentimes I'm asked, "How do you witness to a Jew?" I say, just like you would a Gentile, because in the same book of Romans we're told that there's no difference between the Jew and Gentile. Each and every one has to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, whereas Israel as a nation is cut off and cannot be saved as a nation, individual Jews believing on the Lord can and will be saved. But there's coming a day after the rapture, and when the Lord returns to the earth, the living Jews upon the earth then that see the Lord will turn to Him and believe and be saved, and a nation shall be born in a day. But now it's not the nation of Israel. It's just a Jew here, a Jew there, and a Jew yonder, as they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. One difficulty in witnessing to Jews is many people have an inborn or cultivated enmity toward the Jew. And a Jew is like a dog. They can tell immediately whether you like them or not. So I've heard. Someone told me once that a cat could read my mind. And I told them, well, that one there can't read my mind. He said, how do you know? I said, if he could, he'd be a mile away from here now. And they couldn't. But a Jew can. And a Jew knows instinctively whether you love them or not. You've got to love a Jew, and you've got to love a Gentile to witness to him. To witness to somebody is a sense, is just out of a sense of duty. And to say, I witness to one Jew a day for a month, or witness to a Jew a month, that's no good. As the Lord leads. Go into the city and it'll be told thee what to do. But be alert. This has been a good day. And after service this morning, a wonderful young couple whom we've come to love and appreciate very much told me of their desire to unite with the church tonight. Rich and Terry Payne. And Rich is